Good afternoon, everybody. It is Thursday afternoon, and it is now time for Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Hey, Fetch.
Quiet. Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude.
Hey, Fetch, did that woman really say you have garnets of steel and a mind like a freaking laser?
Mary, you can't be asking questions like that. This is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Why not? Aren't we broadcasting from the Middle East?
Well, yeah, but we might be seen as being politically incorrect.
You know, the problem is everybody dumps people when there's a sign of political incorrectness.
Etan, you're always politically correct.
Heck, thanks. Does that mean we can talk about dumping the Israelis tomorrow?
Oh, I'm sure you will probably say quite a bit more than that. And now coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, this is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time with your host, The Fetch.
Okay, testing. There we go. I think we're live now. Okay, that might have worked. All right, let's try that again. Take two. We're getting good at these takes. We just want to say again, thank you very much for that, Mary, from Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia. This is indeed The Fetch, and you are listening to Inside the Eye Live Prime Time. Today's date is Thursday, September the 26th, 2019, and a good Thursday afternoon to early evening to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones, and a good late evening to early Friday morning to all of you listening. That's written incorrectly. No wonder it sounds funny. Anyways, good late afternoon to early evening to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and a good late evening to early Friday morning, there it is, to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones, and of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web, or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, may all be well with you and yours. The weather here in Riyadh was a warm but comfortable 101 degrees today, a small sign that the fall season and with it falling temperatures are just around the corner. However, for the foreseeable future, at least out for another 7 days, we're expected to continue to hit that century mark. The current temperature at just after 1 o'clock in the morning, local time here, is 85 degrees under clear skies, and we will be going down to an overnight low of 79 degrees in the hour before sunrise. Some very sad and difficult news here for the Freedom Slips family, the Revolution Radio extended family, the owner of the station, if you have not heard already, Mike Nighthawk Ringley, has passed away. He passed away yesterday from some complications, I believe, with either a kidney or a liver. Don't quote me on either one of those, but he had been in the hospital for quite some time, in and out of the hospital. He had been having some difficulties, really, for probably the last 6 months that I had last talked to him. So that's one of the reasons why we were not being too critical about what was going on with the station quality-wise, because we knew he was managing a very hands-on guy with a lot of those technical issues behind the scenes, and he was not doing well. So it just didn't feel very polite to be complaining. He had much more important things to be dealing with. So he has passed away yesterday. I don't know how old he was, but he has been... Really, he provided a great service to the freedom movement, to the idea of free speech, and he's certainly going to be missed, certainly by everybody back in the States who he was associated, obviously his family, etc. So to all of you and to those of you at the studio that knew him personally, obviously we think about you. It's a very difficult time, I know for sure, for the Revolution Radio family. I'll tell you, going back, a Nighthawk, which is what I called him, even though I knew him. I never called him Mike. I always called him Nighthawk, used his nickname. And he was always a good fan, not necessarily a fan. I won't say a fan initially, but he was always a good friend of this show. Now, I remember going back to the days when Oracle Broadcasting shut down in spring of 2012. I don't ask me who called me because I really don't recall, but I was courted by about 4 different stations. One of those was Revolution Radio. Another one I just don't recall. It wasn't RBN, but somebody who claimed to be very close to Stad Miller over at RBN said he loved my show, would try to get me a slot over there, but I don't think they had my time slot available at the time. They had a pretty good running show about some government print issue at the time, and they were doing very well in that time slot. So I'm not sure I would have been welcome there anyways. I think, but don't quote me, Truth Frequency was also courting me a little bit. Of course, Renegade Broadcasting and Kyle back then, we had a very good close, at least a good collaborative effort together. I had appeared later on Renegade, and he even co-hosted the show at times. So when we came over here, I mean, from the day one, he was always a good friend of Inside the Eye Live. And I recall that he talked to me within a week to 2 weeks after joining the station. I said, hey, look, you know, we've got a unique show here. It's a little bit on the cutting edge. Of course, we're going to be called anti-Semites. We're going to be called a lot of things. But we and our message that we bring to the audience on this show is, if not now, will be the future, because we are right about what we talk about, something to that effect. And he said, you know what? I received multiple letters that you're a rabid anti-Semite, and I don't care. We think that here this is a free speech station, and if your audience wants to hear it, we'd like to have you, so please come on board. And then, of course, we did come on board. He was able to get me onto TalkStream Live. I know Tom over there had taken me off. We used to have a very strong show over at TalkStream Live. Typically from Oracle, we would be number one, two, or three on TalkStream Live. And that meant we were beating a lot of big Jewish names out there, big as it can be, right on Saturday morning. So we were doing very, very well. And Jewish groups had complained about how, you know, this is an anti-Semitic show, and oh, only Jews are allowed to talk. If you're not pro-Jewish, you're not allowed to be on the air. Basically, that's what they're saying now. We're kind of getting the idea now. And he actually leaked some of the emails to me. Nighthawk actually leaked some of these from these Jewish groups who were complaining, including some internal things he had gotten from TalkStream Live directly. So I got to see precisely that these were Jewish groups, violent groups, as far as I'm concerned. Here's an interesting thing. Well, let me get through this story about Nighthawk first. So basically, guys, we weren't necessarily liked, but respected in the early days. We had a unique message. As you all know, we still have a unique message. And the show, because it was already popular, honestly, at Oracle, it was immediately popular over here at Revolution Radio. And so what we did is something happened in the summer of 2014. And if you're not familiar with what happened, it was known as Operation Protective Edge. And this is basically when the Israelis went off like rabid, mad animals against the people of Gaza, you know, from July 7th, I believe, out to around the middle of to late August, August 26th or so. The Israeli military during this time carried out some 6,000 airstrikes on Gaza. And if you're not familiar with Gaza, it's an area of roughly about the size of Detroit. It has 1.8 million people living there. It's one of really the most densely populated places on planet Earth. And while they did that, most of the targets that Jews hit were residential buildings and other civilian targets. And then on top of that, the Israelis' ground forces, the cowards that call themselves the IDF, fired some 14,500 tank shells into Gaza and approximately at 35,000 additional artillery shells. So basically you had a Talmudic bloodfest, a one-sided Talmudic bloodfest where Jews being Jews just were creating a hell of a lot of bloodshed, senseless really, and something like 5,000 tons of munitions were used on Gaza in this month and a half. Some 2,251 Palestinians were killed during this operation. 1,462 of those were civilians, and 551 additional were children, of which, and then additional, if you include 299, were women. Now, 11,231 Palestinians were wounded during this operation. So it was a massive operation. 142 Palestinian families had three or more members killed in one, like, let's say, a single Israeli attack. Obviously, the number of orphans there, something like 1,500 children were left orphaned. The destruction to homes and schools, some 18,000 housing units were either partly or completely obliterated by the Jewish people over there. Most of the multi-story buildings were hit by the Israelis, and whole families really were just killed in attacks. They just wiped everybody out. Now, prior to this 2014 assault, there were some 12,000 Palestinians still displaced from Operation Cast Lead, which was in 2008-2009. And there was still, at this particular point in time, some 71,000 housing units, a shortage of some 71,000 housing units. So 262 schools were hit. It was an absolute typical in-your-face Jewish blood fest by a Talmudic sadistic organization called International Jewry. And, of course, this is what this show has always been about, is exposing this concept, exposing this idea, bringing the idea that, look, you are at war with an internal and external enemy, and that internal enemy masks itself as the Jewish people. And whether the Jewish people can say, no, these people don't represent us. No, you're not doing anything to stop it either. In fact, you're part of the problem because you're always silent. And those who are silent in the face of evil are just as guilty as those who are doing the evil themselves, especially if you are familiar with all this. Now, this operation, guys, apparently touched Nighthawk deeply. And he called me during this operation, and he said, Dennis, I want you to take the gloves off. Take the gloves off, because he felt that, I don't know what he felt actually, but he basically said, whatever you want to say now about the Jewish people, the Israeli state, the reality of what's going on, I think this operation woke him up in a political way that was not there before. And he literally called me and he said, Dennis, take the gloves off. That's how much of a friend he was to this show. He wasn't one of these pansy little guys behind the scenes saying, oh, try to calm down. Don't be so overly doing. No, he said, take the gloves off. In other words, just start, in my opinion anyways, I just start speaking the truth about what I witness, what we observe here in everyday life here in America and internationally. That's how much of a friend we had there. And, of course, we had a lot of technical issues going over through time. A lot of it was brought about by Skype changes. We never, ever got those fixed. We haven't been able to listen, actually, to music behind the scenes for a long time. But this show, for what it's worth, man, it's always, he said, you know what, your show is always number one, but you raise the least money for our station. I said, I don't know, man. I don't know. You know, I can't. I don't know. He said, no, I'm not complaining. I'm actually not complaining. I'm just telling you the truth. You at one time were my biggest subscriber. You had the biggest subscriber base to the archives. In the early days, we were doing great together. He said, but over the years, the numbers that we raised from your show fell. And he says, I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you that we've lost a lot. I said, well, you know, I'm sorry about that. You know, what can I do type of thing. But he said, no, just we support the show, though. He always supported. He gave me special code to allow me to see what's going on behind the scenes, for instance. So I know exactly, typically, if I'm paying attention anyways, when shows start, when shows end, when breaks start. When he gave me some special code behind the scene within the server to tell me this. He said, look, I know you're a technical guy. I can't give this to everybody. But I'll give it to you because, you know, I can't be there all the time. He used to actually work out every Saturday morning. He would self-produce the show. He was that much of a friend of the show. Even from the hospital bed, guys. This guy, while I was in the Philippines, we were having problems getting on the air. We had some dead air. He called me, messaged me from the hospital room, like, dead air. Are you kidding me? And I'm like, dude, I'm having massive problems myself, okay, over here. I didn't say anything because at the time we had Frederick and he was going to be coming on and picking up the dare quick enough. No need to make a big fuss out of it. But that's the type of a guy we had running the station here. Not everybody agreed with the programming. I know that. Not everybody agreed with everything. But, hey, the guy was committed to free speech. The guy was committed to the values that really do make Western civilization what it is. He was not one trying to silence you because, hey, he didn't like what you had to say. He of course, we never went out of our way to make problems with anybody either. But at the same time, he was a friend of the show. And it's so difficult, obviously, for a lot of people out there that knew Mike well and, of course, the family our thoughts go out to you. You know, we've been doing this a really long time. Mike's been a good friend of this show. He became somewhat of a internet friend. Over the last 6 months, he began to confide much more with me about just different things, about the studio, the show, the network, and everything about trying to run a radio station, and none of that obviously is fair to talk about, you know. But he began to confide and tell me a lot more. So I always respected the guy because he was a true friend of the show. So his passing, guys, we hope, and he hasn't been around a long time. We've been able to operate now for quite a few months without him being around. So we're going to assume that the network is in good enough hands, you know, without him being firsthand here to keep the network going. So we're not going anywhere, guys. We intend to stay, but it's just a difficult time for everybody out there. That has to deal, obviously, with the passing of Mike. And our thoughts go out to you. It's a very sad day for a lot of people, I know. People have called me from all over, quite frankly. Hey, have you heard? Have you heard? Have you heard? Yes, 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 and yes, I have. And now you've got the story. If you were not aware already, you now have an update. All right, we do have a little bit of difficulty technically. We're not sure why, and you know why we're having some dead air to start the shows. We did solve last week the USB issue. You know, we were trying to get out through the USB. There was a ball bearing stuck inside the USB port, a little tiny ball bearing. Like, how in the heck did you get there? So that meant the USB cable wasn't going all the in. That part got fixed. But the issue I don't understand is the Skype preview account, you know, the account that I use through the browser stopped working. So apparently I just can't get through. I've had to go back to a failover Skype account. We have a couple of Skype accounts registered over at the studio, so I'm using the failover account. It's not ideal because it's difficult. I have to mute me as well as you guys, and I'll try to reconnect over the break. But for whatever reason, that Skype preview account is just not working. So that's why we're having this, but obviously we've tried to solve that. Chat room, everybody, I'm not there. We're going into a break relatively soon anyways. Chat room, InsideTheEyeLive.com, InsideTheEyeLive.com/live live. Come on, you can type, dude. Live underscore chat. There it is. I'm going in now just to see who's there. And this is connected to the hotel internet, so I usually get disconnected all the time, but I'm able to actually connect. It's kind of not bad. It's actually good there, actually. Blau Ocean, I see you there. Jackie, again, you are there. Great to see you again. Blackbird, Frederick, welcome again. And telephone lines, if you'd like to call in, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. Now, as the show moves on, of course, we have the Oy Vey moment coming up, and the cat report's going to be at the bottom of the hour. And then we got a little bit about Alison Chablot over in the UK. She's been arrested again. And hello, MG out there in Salmon Arm. And what else? We've got who knows what else I think we might talk about. Who knows? I'm thinking of ranting a little bit about Jewish use of violence against us, which is what they are doing to us in a very indirect way, but it is violent nonetheless. And might talk a little bit about this stupid 16-year-old kid, because I don't even think she deserves a name, that met with Congress, and Congress was actually stupid enough to actually have her as a witness. Like, yeah, you're going to pull in some 16-year-old to get some expert advice. How stupid is it? You know, we live in clown world right now. So we'll talk a little bit about that. That's about it. You know, should be a good show today. Hopefully we won't have too many technical difficulties. We'll get through it. And that's all I got to say about all that. How's that sound? Good start. What's today again? September 26, 2019. We're what, a week into now the spring season, not the spring, the fall season. I'm thinking about you down under there. Yeah, we're about a week into the fall season, so it's all going well. Thank you very much, everybody. And back with more right after this. Okay, welcome back, everybody. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye live prime time. Again, it's Thursday, September the 26th. Again, on a day and a week, really, where we saw the passing of the owner of the studio, Mike Ringley, again, yesterday. Might help if you tie this thing down, right? But yesterday, and he died in the hospital. He leaves behind his wife, a daughter, I believe, a couple grandkids, something to that. You know, he had a funny story, by the way. He told me one day, because we do the Oy Vey moment, he called me one day, he was laughing. He said, you know, Dennis, he said, my granddaughter's walking around the house and she's singing Oy Vey all the time now. So apparently she got a liking to the Oy Vey moment and she was like cruising around the house singing Oy Vey. So he found that kind of humorous. So anyways, it remains listener sponsored and supported, radio. So again, this is probably one of the best times ever to try to help out and get the studio a little bit of cash. It's been really down. They would try to raise about $2,600 a month. I think we're sitting around $900, something like that. It's very, very small. So if anybody out there can help send some shekels the way towards the studio to help out a little bit, all of that would be absolutely fantastic at this point in time. And, of course, we'll keep you posted. You know, I haven't updated my website in a long time. I'm so busy, guys. You have no idea. It's like 3 weeks behind. I promise I'll get to that. But we have had stellar, absolutely stellar numbers since coming back from vacation. Obviously, we had a very bad down. It held its own. Nothing personal out there. The numbers are great, quite frankly, for all the hosts. It's better than my own, to be honest with you, from August. But we had some great. But the website itself is down, but it's okay. But it's up big time now. It's really come back. I guess people heard I was back. But the listening numbers aren't showing. Frederick, you killed me last month, man. Good job. Let's see. Listener sponsors supported. It does obviously rely upon your donations to help keep the network alive, up and running. So do what you can. Obviously, everybody needs money. Everybody to run these things. It's not free. It's not cheap. It's not easy. It does take money, guys, to run these operations. We don't have the millionaires and the billionaires, unfortunately, sponsoring us. It would sure be nice if we did. And quite frankly, we deserve it. But we don't have it. So what we have to do is just do what we can do, and that means self-finance ourselves to the best of our abilities, and of course take in the donations that come in and just use that judiciously so that we don't waste a lot of money. And I'll tell you what, we've had a great summer. I've had a great summer. Everything is going great. Thank you so much for your support over the summer. It really meant a lot. Now time for the ITEL Cat Report. Climb up the world.
Get off the Hulk's train, the Hulk's train. The first stop. What do you think? I should add a lady co-host to this?
It's not. If you got someone you can bounce on, you should be careful to use lady co-hosts.
You know what I need to do? I need to fly to Cornwall. Like, yeah, send Petching to the bog. Just put a big air fetch here. You and I ought to do a show together, the Graham Fletcher Show. Let's change it from fetch, because I don't want to overshadow you. So if I go to Fletcher, it's like, who's Fletcher? Wake up, get off the Hulk's train, the Hulk's train. The next stop is reading a diary. Is this live? Actually, yes, it is. I'm not listening back to this part. You know, maybe Grizzly is going to cut this part out. He's going to cut it out. This wasn't live. I know they were missing. Yes.
Because it's time for the ITEL Primetime Cat Report, sponsored by Graham Hart and the Graham Hart Show with Breiser, which streams live every Monday on Cornwall Revolution Radio at 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern, and by Graham Hart's song, the Hoax Train, where a little historical humor triggers the hoaxsters and anti-Semite-hunters alike. To listen to the Graham Hart Show, visit grism.blogspot.com before showtime for all the listen live and chat room. And this week's ITEL Cat Report got two little interesting stories here. First of all, the kittens downstairs. We got one white cat. She's got one blue eye, one yellow eye. Kind of looks at you funny, but she's a sweetheart. She loves to play with the kids that run around there. It's a family residence apartment hotel type of place. So we do have families from time to time, and the kitten will come in the place. Doesn't, it's not afraid, comes in, and the children just love to play with this little thing. But the little light kitten's got a little tiny friend, like maybe about 7-8 weeks old, tiny, tiny, tiny little black orangish cat. And I'll tell you what, even some of my colleagues have taken a liking to these two cats. So they said, you know, I kind of like the cats. They're telling me today, confiding today, these two cats. I said, yeah, they are pretty cool, aren't they? So yeah, we've got two little cats, and our cat's now back in the Philippines now, not Jordan. I'll tell you what about Jordan and the Philippines, guys. For me, just as my blood pressure and my stress levels, I swear I worried every single day about my cats when they were in Jordan, every day, because I know that the Jordanians around, they're not good people when it comes to animals. They're just not good with pets. Yeah, there's people around that are, but as a general society, they are terrible towards animals. Absolutely atrocious, quite frankly. So I worried every day. I mean, come on. One Eye was a big, strong cat. It was the dominant cat of the entire neighborhood, and he didn't show up one day. So something happened to him. It's not like he got, it's something happened to him. Somebody did something to him. I know that for a fact. But I can't prove it because I don't know what happened to him. But I know something happened to him. So I worried every day. It's like, is Spiker's home? And every day we would go outside. I swear, every day while we were in Jordan, guys, we would go outside. And if the cats weren't around, we would go hunting around the neighborhood looking for them to get them inside the house before nightfall because we were worried about them. Now that they're in the Philippines, I'm in the middle of a giant field-like area. I don't worry about them. There isn't a car. You can barely even hear street noise way, 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 way off in the distance type of thing. I'm surrounded by water patties. The empty fields are like water patties. So, you know, cats aren't going to go swimming in there, and people aren't going to go walking through them either. There's lots of frogs, so they like to go chase the frogs, and they catch an occasional frog from time to time. There's lizards. Got to be careful with the lizards. They're up on the ceiling. And when Pressy sees them, she goes crazy, and she's all over the furniture, and there's one giant, like 40, 45, 50-inch television. I'm like, please, don't knock the TV over. I don't need to be replacing a TV right now. But she goes crazy. So it's been a lot of fun, and I don't worry about them anymore. Spike has just been a sweetheart, absolute sweetheart. I haven't even seen my, Ming Ming for a couple of days now. She's usually out with the other family. I'm going to have to ask tomorrow, where's Ming Ming? And then Pressy is pregnant. That's right. Pressy is pregnant again. My white Turkish Angora cat is pregnant again. And we've already been offered anywhere up to $100 to $200 per kitten from that cat. So I'm like, okay, take it. You know, if you're going to give me $200 for a kitten, I'll take it. So yeah, we've actually been offered quite a bit of money for this cat. I think they're still under quarantine. They're not allowed to leave my house for another month or so. And they haven't, so we're not violating any laws there. But nonetheless, so we got some kittens on the way again, everybody. It's pretty obvious she's starting to get pregnant again. You know, she's starting to show. But that's the ITO Cat Report, again, proudly sponsored by the Graham Hart Show with Prizer. And you can hear that show every Monday from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern at grism.blogspot.com. And if just visit grism.blogspot.com, and you can check out for all the links. Chat links, listen live links, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And just give it a shot. It's become a pretty darn good show. They do a good job now over there. It's really improved. It's always been a good show, by the way. It's just as you do more and more of these shows, people do tend to get a little bit more professional. And that is certainly the case with what's happening over there too. So we've got a lot of great shows within our network. And again, they've been very good friends and sponsors of this show too. So for all that, we appreciate it. Go check them out. And let's see here.
Oy vey. Oy gewalt. It's like another show.
Oy vey.
Oy vey.
Oy vey, everybody.
Run by Jews. It's owned by Jews. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on William Pierce.
Oy vey!
Oy vey, everybody!
The Oy vey moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored is now available from Andy himself at AndrewCarringtonHitchcock.com. Get your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio. To listen, simply visit EurofolkRadio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live link, or visit AndrewCarringtonHitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media. And this week's Oy Vey moment is coming to us from the United States today. And that is Columbia University. If you're not familiar, Mahathir Mohamad, he's the Prime Minister of Malaysia. He's been long time a friend of free speech. He's been a friend of humanity. He is Muslim, but I don't care. He's been a good friend of the human family, and especially those who speak out against the evils of Jewish society and Jewish culture. And he was speaking just the other day, I think even yesterday, at Columbia University. And he says, quite frankly, why can't I speak out against Jews? Why? U.S. Jewish leaders were calling for a halt to Columbia donations over the school's housing or hosting of the Malaysian prime minister. But of course, they have to throw the word anti-Semitic in. And every time we see the word anti-Semitic, we should see Jewish violence. Jewish violence towards our way of life. Jewish violence towards our system of Western liberal democratic, the traditional way of having free speech. Why is it that Jews believe they have a right to silence anybody? And he says straight up, and he's a 94-year-old man. He runs a country. He says, I am exercising my right to free speech. Why is it that I can't say something against the Jews when a lot of people say nasty things about me, about Malaysia, and I didn't protest. I didn't demonstrate. In other words, we don't whine like a bunch of Jews. We have to now view the Jewish community as a whining, childish, sadistic culture, quite frankly, that just wants to bully and push its way around so that it never sees the light of day with all the crimes that they commit everywhere. And they commit crimes so often, you wonder why they're so rich? Start looking into their crimes. Mohamad, he was speaking at the college's World Leaders Forum. Now, he has supposedly been said to have called Jews hook-nosed. Oh, well, so what? Have you ever seen pictures of them? It would actually be a fair caricature, with all due respect, to a very small or even a medium-sized sampling of Jewish people. It's a fair criticism. It's a fair observation. It's a stereotype. Stereotypes are just observed phenomena over time. But what I don't like about this is they say here, Malaysia, how did he say that? How did it? It was in somewhere else. They were wording it somewhere else, so I can't pull it up quickly. Anyway, this guy's 94 years old. He returned to being the prime minister of Malaysia just last year. He served also from 1981 to 2003. And a student, typically a whining Jew probably, rose up, identified herself as a member of the campus pro-Israel group. In other words, this person is on our schools serving a foreign country openly. If you're in many other countries doing that, you'll be railed out of the college, and this person should be railed out of the college. It says here, Mohamad denied question how many Jews were killed in the Holocaust, but then went on to say, well, look, I have not disputed them, but I have said that who determined these numbers? That's right, who did determine? And here's what I have finally decided. Every time I hear a Jew say we're a Holocaust survivor, you know what they're really saying? They survived the mass murder of the rest of our cultures. They survived the Holocaust that they, Jews themselves, created against Western civilization. That's what this really means. I'm a Holocaust survivor. Yeah, that's because you were tucked away in labor camps while your people were creating the engines of war to kill off 100 million Western Europeans. That's what you mean by you're a survivor. You're a coward. You were hiding while everybody else was dying. You were a coward. That's what you're saying. If you tell me you're a Holocaust survivor, you are basically telling me you're a coward who hid from the carnage that your own society pushed on Western civilization. That's what Holocaust survivor means, because you know who didn't survive the Holocaust? The Germans didn't survive. The Russians didn't survive. 460,000 Americans didn't survive, but it seems like every single Jewish person survived. You know how we know pretty much every single Jewish person survived? By following Jewish literature, by following Jewish sources. How do you have 15.2 million Jews before the war, lose 6 million, and after the war you got 15.7 million? How did you grow 300,000 people after you lost 6 million? How did you do that? Again, Jewish magical Talmudic math that basically says, oh, we're stupid, we can do whatever we want because we're stupid, and you're even dumber to buy into my crap because I'm Jewish. That's kind of how it works out. So basically, Malhotra's, again, why do we waste our time trying to put our perceptions around a Jewish fabricated lie? Malhotra says, so I accept there was a Holocaust, that there were many Jews killed. Dude, there was nothing killed compared to the 100 million that everybody else lost. 9 million Germans after the war, and Jews want to whine to us? Are you kidding me? 460,000 Americans were sent over to their deaths, and Jews want to tell us we Americans aren't doing enough? Are you kidding me? Americans for sure should tell Jews, go screw yourselves. We've sacrificed everything for you idiots, and we're still sacrificing. All you're doing is attacking our way of life, destroying our countries, taking over our government, stealing our wealth through your banks. And you want to whine to us about how you're so special. You're not. And people have to have this mentality towards them. Muhammad, again, he said here he has sympathy for other targeted groups. Well, what about us? What about the anti-Semite? It's a targeted group. It's a defined group that says Jews don't like us, so we're targeted. What about the sympathy for the anti-Semites, right? The anti-Jewish minority out there that really gets the fact about this evil culture that is so hell-bent on destroying Western civilization. There's another guy out there. His name is Vishaka Desai. He's a senior advisor to the Columbia president, Lee Bollinger. He brought this introduction about the Malaysian prime minister. Come on, move. And it says here, Desai referenced a letter by Bollinger in which he defended Mahatma's appearance on campus while also calling the leader's remarks abhorrent. Why do you have a need, being in a public circle, to use the word abhorrent? If I'm there, I would say, are you freaking out of here? I would look him straight in the eye, guys. Seriously. I would look this guy straight in the eye. Are you an idiot? You use the word abhorrent. Exactly what's abhorrent? The fact that you're so stupid and arrogant that you would use that word, that's abhorrent. But give us a break. Grow the hell up. Excuse my language, but grow the heck up. And it's time to start pushing back against these people. Now, about 300 people actually attended this event, and according to university spokeswoman Caroline Adelman, what, you can't find somebody other than a Jew to be your spokesperson? Give us a break again. She says here, other speakers at the week-long forum included Austrian Chancellor Bridget Bierlein, Queen Matilda of Belgium, and Iraqi President Barham Saleh. You know, I've been out of touch with the Iraqis for a while, so I kind of don't know what's going on over there, to be honest with you. I just don't know. I have to call my friends. Anyways, this article appeared from Geller, Pamela Geller, who's a rabid idiot when it comes to supporting Jews. It's like, we exist to support Jews. She's one of these rectified goyim clowns. There's so many of them out there. Another story we want to talk about real quick. We got about 3 minutes to go on that. See if I can get this connected quick enough, is a situation going on in the UK. And this is a guy, a former Labour leader of Brighton City Council. He revealed how, following his last Labour Party conference in the city 2 years ago, he wrote a letter saying that Labour would not be welcome back in Brighton if it failed to sort out issues with anti-Semitism, only to find that the backlash against my message was swift and took me by surprise. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not a labor person. I don't care about UK politics to that degree. But what I am saying is that every time a Jewish person seeks to impose themselves onto the vast majority of people, there should be a backlash that is absolutely ruthless towards that Jewish person or the rectified goy idiot who is serving Jewish power. There should never be any tolerance anymore for Jewish, interest to silence dissent. Because they're ruining your country. They're ruining our country. They're destroying our way of life. He writes here in a remarkable article in The Spectator, Warren Morgan, who was the labor leader of Brighton and Hove City Council from 2015 to 2018. He resigned from the party in February, recounting how at that previous conference he had sat in a studio listening to people who had faced abuse because they were Jewish. Now I'm looking at this saying, are you kidding me? You're Jewish and you face abuse? Are you getting railroaded out of your job? Are you getting fired from your job? Are you being basically hounded everywhere you go and you Jews want to talk to us about how you're being abused because you're quote unquote a Jew? Are you kidding me? Are you completely tone deaf to what everybody is, what is happening in our countries based on Jewish power and domination of the political system here? See, Jews are completely clueless. I think they become completely tone deaf to the rising disgust of Jewish behavior. What some, like Frank, our caller, says is typical Jewish behavior. Now, he says here for what he was not prepared for what happened next. He said, for all my good intentions, how is imposing Jewish society onto the rest of us good intentions? What are you, again, are you stupid, dude? And this is kind of how I'm starting to view this. And we've had a little bit of support, I think, for it. But we're going into a break, so I can't say a whole lot more about it. Anyways, it's The Fetch. Inside the LA Primetime, September 26, 2019. Back with hour number two, right after this. Okay.
I didn't hear the introduction. I heard nothing of this last half hour.
Really?
Really?
Okay.
I can refresh.
Well, people, I do see that some people are saying I don't get... Guys, I don't know what's going on, quite frankly, why it shut down. I have no idea why. Let me see.
Because you touched a nerve, you think?
Maybe.
You're touching a chord. Because, you know, nope. There's so many people that you can tell they're sick of... different shows, game shows that I watch. Gotta put this stuff that's going
hey
on
everyone.
About Trump.
It's but Barbara Trump Jean was Lindsay, talking to the United Cosmic Nations. Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life.
Yeah, we're going into a break here. Just hang
on.
Hold on.
Planet,
it just will call back.
Show.
Okay, they
the
can hear us.
Here
that's what they're saying. They can hear us now. That's strange. We're in a break, Vera. Just hang tight. We'll be back.
All right.
Back with more. Hang tight.
Bye.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. You know, I don't know what happened. I just learned that the last half hour you missed it, and it was a heck of a great rant. You missed a great rant. My television enjoyed it, but I'm not sure anybody else did. Apparently, nobody did. I just got a call from a longtime friend, and all of you know who this person is. Vera from Salmon Arm. Vera, hi. Welcome to Inside the LA Primetime.
Yeah, hi, Dennis. Sorry we missed it.
I'll tell you, man, my TV, no wonder my TV was smiling. It's like looking at me like, dude, you're stupid. It ain't going out. It ain't going out. And there you are. So yeah. Basically we are, the bumper's still playing. They say, why is it playing? I've muted it down. So yeah, we have got a problem with my mixing.
It's not playing here.
It's not? Well, someone just said the bumper's playing. Anyways.
Oh, I don't think I hear anything.
Okay, well, then I don't either, but someone was complaining. Anyways, I just shut it off. Anyways, Vera, I have to do some debugging tomorrow before Saturday's show because we've had a lot of headaches the past 3 weeks with technology. Things just aren't working.
Yeah.
I'm not monitoring. Nothing's working here. I'm not sure why, quite frankly. But anyways, welcome back. What you been up to? How's Salmon Arm right now?
Ooh, well, actually, weather's half decent. We got pretty good rain last night through the night. But other than that, it's not snow yet, but you know, we're getting snow in around here. Can you believe it? It's like not even October yet.
Yeah, global warming. You know, I heard a great thing this week.
It's such a lie.
You know what?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I heard this Mexican business guy talking to some liberal college in some place in America. He was a guest speaker on a panel. And this knucklehead, leftist, liberal, nutcase woman, 17, 18, 19-year-old knucklehead, idiot, basically, gets up there and starts talking about global warming and, oh, we got to do something. And he said, you know what? He actually said something straight to the effect, you're an idiot. You're completely out of your mind. He said, look, all of Florida, if the water were to rise 10 feet, half of Florida would be gone tomorrow. If it rose 10 feet, all of Florida would basically be gone. There's nothing to Florida. It's flat land. If the water's going to raise 10, 20 feet in 20 years or 12 years, do you really think the banks are going to be loaning out for 30 years on water that they, on land they know is going to be underwater within 12 to 15 years? Do you really think the banks are that stupid? No, of course not. It's telling you that the money people know it's all fake because they're still loaning out the money. They know nothing's going anywhere. So if you think you're smarter than the money people, then you're really stupid because they know a lot more than you know. And he just went on and on into this woman. It was kind of entertaining.
Well, but see, you don't know with them because, like, that they've already said that if they didn't get it their way, they would even do a bombing. I mean, they would already nuke it and then what, go underground or God only knows with these guys because they're sick. That question was put to them that years and years ago, I mean, like 40 years ago or something.
So anyways, let's move on to something more entertaining, and that is the whining of the Jewish people.
Well, you know, information where he's talking to the United Nations, like he's got the United Nations, blah, 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 behind him. And so he's there, I guess, addressing them and then talking about Iran and how they've bombed the other. They have to sanction them and that he believes in freedom of speech and freedom and rights and everything. This is Trump now. And then that the other country, that they're nothing like that. And so they're sanctioning them even worse than what they were already before. But they said that they're going down, China's going down. Meanwhile, I hear otherwise, you know. So.
Yeah, and I keep hearing how great the U.S. economy is doing, too. And, of course, not being there, I don't know. Anything that's positive for the people is positive. I'm certainly not going to criticize if things are better than before, then that's a positive. I'm not here to criticize that for sure because I'm not here to see people live worse than before. I want them better. But I don't know. China, yeah.
But I don't know why the question's never brought up. What about Israel? They haven't even signed to non-proliferation. They've never been, like, allowed anybody there to check their nukes. They got nukes.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Don't they?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so, you know, and then, of course, Trump said that Iran is anti-Semitic.
Again, who cares? Who cares? Yeah, this is the thing I don't get, is that this is not what runs our Western world, whether or not Jews are, who cares? And we have to actually say, you know what, Trump, we don't care. That's not the issue here. They can go to Israel. Let's talk about our issues. Jews are a separate issue here. They're not part of our society. Really? They're not part of our culture. They're foreign parasites to us. Whether or not that's anti-Semitic, who cares? We don't care. Get them out of our country. They're behind 9/11. Yeah. They're behind the war on our country. They're behind immigration. They're behind the banking schemes. Yeah. Everything about this society is against us. We don't care anymore, Mr. Trump. Get them out. That's what we need. Get them out. It's getting down to the point now where you can't even speak without them trying to destroy you. So get them out. They're enemies of our way of life. How are we going to have a free flowing information society when all it is Jews data mining everything, looking for some tidbit of something from 42 years ago that they can use against you to have you fired from your job?
Yeah. I mean, that is ridiculous. And now we're getting into a lot of automation. They say that lots of jobs are going to be lost through the automation. I mean, I know even here, you know, like within different stores, they've got that you can go and scan yourself.
Everybody should.
I'd rather wait a little while
Yeah, you know, everybody should just avoid that stuff. Go ahead, spend the money, avoid it. Just avoid it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Anyways, I'm glad you're in wherever you are there.
Yeah, if we can just figure out that
things are going reasonably well for you.
Yeah, I just got to figure out why all this technical stuff is not working now. That's what I got to do. But it's moving along. Maybe another week or so, I'll try to get it. I'm going to try to debug it tomorrow. Very frustrating running a show, and then I'm keep being told, dude, we lost the whole half hour.
We didn't hear a word you said, and I wasn't going to call, and then I thought, well, come on, I better let you know.
I was so...
Anyways, I'll let you go. It's really nice talking to you.
Equally.
And I'll call
How's your husband, by the way?
Into a rant or something.
Yeah, how's your husband again? He was not doing so well last time we heard. How's it going?
He's not doing great.
Oh. Well, keep us posted. Good luck over there. Stay healthy. Down. Improve the diet there. Make sure the diet's good.
Yeah, well, I don't want to go into detail. There's a lot of stuff going on, so... Yeah.
All right, I'll get moving. Thanks so much for the call, though. Good luck to you guys over there.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, so we've got a woman here. Alison Chablot. We were talking about Alison Chablot during the rant, and you guys didn't hear an ounce about it. But here's the point. Alison Chablot, whether or not she did the right thing, lowering up or not lowering up, shouldn't be an issue here. I mean, it is an issue, but it shouldn't be an issue. Because why are we having our people jailed in our own countries by Jews? Think about it. Why are we having Jews use the police to jail us over basically idiocy from the Jewish community? Seriously. If Jews are going to make Holocaust, quote unquote, denial a criminal offense, then the pendulum must turn, and every Jew that believes in the Holocaust should also be jailed for believing in it. And in fact, there were standing orders after World War II by the U.S. military that said those who were spreading the lies of gas chambers were to be immediately arrested. That was after the war. An order went out to U.S. troops out in the field to stop this nonsense after the war because everybody knew it was fake. So therefore, if Jews are using this as nothing but a criminal form of extortion against us, why then should we not motivate and bring about the political will that says if you believe in the Holocaust and you use it for economic gain or emotional or intellectual extortion, you shall be jailed for the period of 10 to 15 years? Why is it not a turn here? Think about it. Because we're not the ones who are criminally doing anything. We are voicing an opinion. We're not harming anybody. We're not extorting money from somebody. We're not going to the Jews and saying, hey, you know what? Your Holocaust stuff is a bunch of crap. Give me $50 billion in compensation. We haven't done that yet, but we should. Because the original extortion came from the Jewish community. So Allison is thrown into jail on a suspended sentence because she blogged on a private blog that you had to have access to get in. And they're claiming that's, quote unquote, social media. This is corruption. This is judicial corruption by that judge and the campaign against anti-Semitism. Why should we not now look at how to jail and take away the ability of CAA to operate in our midst, consider acting as what? An enemy of the people. They are a nonprofit organization, an NGO that is there to silence dissent and to impose a Jewish world order upon the rest of us. Now, she's saying that she mocked Jews. Well, so what? Since when is that a crime? Since when is Jews mocking Germans not a crime then? Since when is Jews not mocking Germans? Since when are, you know, and I was, I can't even speak now. When Jews mock us, why is that not a crime? Since when is mockery a crime? Think about it. Jews want to turn mockery, the term mockery, into a crime, and they want to jail people for that. And then we look at all of this going on, and you got this district judge, Jonathan Taff. He's sentencing her to 8 weeks for basically writing on her own private blog. That's her property. It's not social media. So why really shouldn't that judge get a visit by some patriots and say, what the hell are you doing, dude? What are you doing? What are you doing? Seriously, ask him straight up. Because just as the politicians we discussed earlier in the segments were hounded out, why shouldn't this judge be hounded out? Why should not Steven Silverman be handed out? Can you imagine some idiot talking like this, how arrogant and disgusting this is? And he says, we are delighted that justice has taken its proper course. Jews are delighted to jail people over writing on a blog. And you're going to tell me they're not our enemy? He's delighted to see you in jail because you wrote on a blog? And how is it that there's not a single Jew out there raising a finger in protest? How is it that a Jewish organization has the right to jail British people? Then the EU Parliament, the president, he condemns what he calls a worrying rise of anti-Semitism. Well, look, there should be a floodgate of anti-Semitism. Because when you use the power of the state, when you go to the police and you jail people for writing on a blog, that is your own private property, basically, that is essentially nothing but a journal that is digitally put out there. It's not social media. Are you kidding me? And then you're jailing people. You don't think that we shouldn't be pissed off at you? You people in the Jewish community really think that we should be tolerating you? How can we tolerate you jailing people for writing in a blog? How can we tolerate the Jewish community when the Jewish community are actively jailing people for singing a song? For singing a song. And Jews want to complain about the rise in anti-Semitism? I don't hear anybody getting jailed for believing in the Holocaust yet. I haven't seen a single synagogue rounded up for their extremism against us every time they push for mass immigration. I haven't seen any Jews rounded up for the banking frauds committed in 2008. And Jews want to worry about rising anti-Semitism when they're jailing 96, 97, 90-year-old men who fought in World War II for the Germans, and because they know the truth, they know Jews are lying, and Jews want to now jail these people, actual eyewitnesses to this story that none of these Jews were eyewitnesses to. You weren't an eyewitness to what happened in World War II. I wasn't the one eyewitness. But these Germans were eyewitnesses because they lived through it. They're eyewitnesses, and you're jailing the eyewitnesses to silence people, and Jews are worrying about the rise in anti-Semitism? This should be met with such revulsion that we are disgusted with these people. Not because we quote unquote hate Jews, but you sure damn well should hate the fact that they are using their power to silence you, to silence your family, to silence your dissidents, to silence political viewpoints that they just don't want to hear about because they're a bunch of crybabies. They know they're a bunch of lying flakes and they don't want you to remind the fact that they are actually quite frankly, quite evil. Because it is evil, folks, to falsely label somebody. That's evil. It's evil to go to somebody and say, you did this and get the courts to do something against them and they didn't do anything. They're completely innocent. How is that not evil? It's kind of like Child Protective Services, you know? You get some flake, and it typically is either a leftist or a Jewish person, filing false complaints with Child Protective Services for the express purpose of getting families destroyed. How can you tell me that's not evil? That's exceedingly evil. So how can you then tell me that a Jew whining about, oh, this person said something that mocked us. Well, you deserve to be mocked, you morons. You're lucky you're not mocked into non-existence at this stage with the way you're attacking everybody. Every injustice that Jews bring to our society should be elevated to the point that there is a rising disgust for everything Jewish. Because Jews are saying they're disgusted with us. Isn't that what they're saying? They're saying if you have an opinion that we disagree with, we're disgusted with you and we will jail you. We will throw you in prison because you said something. We will make you lose your job because you said something. You shouldn't be disgusted with that. You shouldn't have a revulsion for that. Are you kidding me? Seriously. You're not supposed to say this is absolutely out of control. It's insane. I'm actually having some Jewish guy Silverman sign gloating that he jailed somebody who wrote in a blog, who wrote on her private website. And then they're going to twist words in such a way, and they got a judge that is such a freaking stupid moron. He bought in with this Jewish person. How is this not, in very many ways, seriously, judicial corruption? This isn't justice. This is basically Jewish Talmudic star chamber justice. What's next, Mr. Silverstein? Shooting people because we still don't believe after we get out of jail? What's next, Mr. Silverstein? Rounding up whole communities and destroying the entire family line because we didn't believe your BS about your Holocaust BS? What is next? Because it's what? You throw people in jail, so what? You think it's going to change our opinion, the fact that you are evil people? You think it's going to take away from the idea that your whole story, your whole narrative is one monstrous extortion lie? You think it's going to change that fact? You think it's going to change the fact that Jews gloat daily about how 9/11 was so good for Israel? You think it's going to change the fact that we know about your dancing Israelis? We know about your art students planting the explosives. We know about the explosions going on throughout the building. We know about your attempt to create a clash of civilizations between us and the Islamic world, which you've largely successfully managed to do because we are off there dying while you Jews are, quote unquote, surviving this Holocaust too. Isn't that amazing? Our soldiers die, but you get to survive the Holocaust you just created for our soldiers. I heard just the other day, actually today, I'm not sure which ship it was, but over the weekend, three U.S. soldiers committed, sailors actually, committed suicide. Three on one ship. What the heck's going on? What the heck really is going on? Really, what's going on? How is it you got three guys committing suicide at one time? Is this just another one of your LGBT? Who knows? I can't even imagine why three people would take their lives on the same ship on the same weekend. So what's going on? What's going on is that our leadership is Jewish. Our leadership does not represent our interests. Our leadership is destroying our futures. And our leadership will stop at nothing to maintain power. That's the problem. And it leaches down into the mass psyche of the people. And they start to lose hope. So they turn to the drugs that Jews like the Sackler family are so happy to peddle. In the meantime, they do what? They create another 40, 50, 70, 100,000 dead people, mainly white European Americans. And they laugh their way to the bank, but they want to say, you know what? We're worried about the rise in anti-Semitism. Yeah, because us who are surviving the deaths that you're bringing to us, we can't miss the fact that what's going on anymore. Now, a lot of us, a small amount of us, we've been talking about this for decades, well over a decade for sure. And we've been hounded by you Jews. But guess what? Our numbers now continue to rise. And if this violence by the Jewish people continues, how can it not be met with violence? Because violence isn't going to be coming from us. The violence is being done by Jewish people against us now. Be fair and honest here. You're not creating vaccines and killing off and creating and destroying families to the tune out of 1 out of 45, 1 out of 50 in America with autism. You're not doing that. How many families have just seen their hopes destroyed? How many families have had to endure having their child inoculated with 13 different things and the child dies in their arms about 2, 3, 4 hours later? And everyone wants to pretend that, oh, it's not the inoculations that are doing it. It's not the vaccines. No, we don't know why. Go watch TV, okay? And have another bagel. So you're not doing that. It's not you with the banks that control the fact that so many millions of Americans were thrown out and we still have homeless camps all over the place now in America. You're not doing that. You're not taking the police, running to your house and jailing you because you said something that you didn't like. So who's the violent person here? It's not you. You're minding your own business. You're having an opinion, which you have a right to have. And then you find yourself being hounded by Jews and thrown in jail. Who's being violent here? See, the violence is already at your—it's at your doorstep, but nobody wants to recognize it. It's at your doorstep today. Like in Alison Chablow, why is she being thrown in jail for singing a song and writing on a blog? And quite frankly, she's harmless. She's a harmless person. So who's committing violence against who here? It's Jews committing violence against Alison Chablow. See, the violence is here. It's at our footstep. It's just a matter of now, how do you react to Jewish violence? That's the key issue now. How do we start to respond to the violence that Jews are laying at our footstep? When you start hearing about Jews being rounded up, just as we are hearing about our people being rounded up, because essentially they are. There's some 9,000 political dissidents now in the UK. 9,000. Imagine that. Political dissidents in the UK. How many of those are Jewish? None. I'm sure it's very small. Most of them are nationalists. How's that? So who's being violent here? How can you tell me that going to the police because you said something, or you don't believe in something, going to the police, arresting you, throwing you in jail, hounding you for years and years and years, how can you tell me that Jews are not using violence? Violence doesn't have to be me hitting you. But if I use the police to take away your rights and your freedoms, I'm using the state to execute my violence towards you. So who's responsible, the state or the Jews behind using the state? I say it's the Jews behind it. The police are doing their job, and the police one day should be doing their job and exactly exacting what's happening to Jews, and that means rounding them up, putting them in prison, and not allowing them to speak. And if they dare speak, the law really should be such that they continue to stay in jail. If they write in a blog, they're in jail. If they sing a song, they're in jail. If they raise their voice, they're in jail. Because that's what they're doing. They're setting the precedent for this type of clash of violence within our societies. And they're too stupid to think that somehow they're going to hoodwink the entire world here. They haven't hoodwinked them yet. They got a lot of brain stupid people out there, and we recognize that. And they're going to continue to round up dissidents, and we recognize that. But there comes a point where the pendulum must swing, and the time is rapidly approaching. It's the Fetch, everybody. Sorry about the snafus, but we are done with this show. See you next week, Saturday, I should really say, inside the iLive Intelligent Media for the Politically Aware Saturday, 10 o'clock a.m. right here on Revolution Radio. Good night.